Here we are at Felix's on the Lake. Welcome in to the Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. The Saints win 28-14 today over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Bobby got off to a slow start, but that Taysom Hill block punt kind of turned things around. They kind of woke up a little bit.
Yeah.
It wins a win, but look, it looks like the Saints that we had seen in that previous 10-game winning streak.
Well, you have to look at how you finish a game. You get 25 unanswered points. That speaks for itself. So for all you trollers or haters, I don't know how to describe them, when all of a sudden they're tormenting the Saints at halftime, you have to look at the big picture. I mean, they got some miserable people in the world. that I don't know.
Go look on Twitter.
You live here and you don't cheer for the Saints. Well, move the hell out of here. I mean, it's like they hate Drew Brees. They hate the Saints. And they just troll. They must have a miserable life. I don't know how to describe it. They just in general, if you talk to them one-on-one, they're losers. They're losers, and it makes themselves feel better if they drag the likes of Drew Brees down or the Saints down. And that's why, hey, it ain't over till it's over. You can hate all you want. The Saints back-to-back NFC South champs, that's not an opinion. That's a fact. So you can hate all you want. I mean, it's unbelievable when I see what we have here in New Orleans, and for not 100% for people to be on board.
I got a tweet at halftime when I said the Saints the last six quarters, I was like, hey, look, the Saints' offense has been awful. No other way to say it. And I get a tweet saying they should refund the Saints season ticket holders all their money. I'm like, that's an overreaction if you ever saw one.
My goodness. They have a number of people who
fans get caught up in – they live in an emotional glass case. I mean, they're prisoners of the moment too often.
Or they say Drew Brees looks old overnight, put in Teddy Bridgewater. Okay, well, whatever. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's almost comical to the point. But with that being said – you look at New Orleans clinching the NFC South title in back-to-back season for the first time in franchise history. Again, that's not an opinion. That's a fact. One thing, the Saints have had their number, that being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, now 33-21, the club's best winning percentage versus any NFL opponent that they face. And more important, it's a division opponent. And then you look at Tampa. You know how it's tough to win on the road? What are we on the road now? You know how you want to go 500? We're 6-1 on the road right now. And so now you look at Tampa, we have a 15-9 overall record. So, Christian, that right there speaks for itself and what we're able to do as far as winning at Tampa Bay. It has not been a home field advantage.
They hadn't won there since 2015.
Yeah, it hadn't been an advantage overall when you look at Saints and Buccaneer history. And then another thing that's a real positive, scoring defense. Again, now it didn't happen against Dallas, but if we keep doing that, the Saints can't help but win. We're now 72-9 under Sean Payton. We hold opponents to 20 or fewer points. Think about that, 72 wins.
That's five straight games they've done that. Back-to-back games, they shut out a team in the half. Hold your thoughts real quick. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here, Felix is on the lake for the Point After, 7400 Lakeshore Drive. Who dat, and then celebrating a 28-14 victory. How about this Saints defense, though, Bobby? Look, you can make the argument they're the reason the Saints were able to stay in this ball game.
Well,
you held the number one offense to under 300 yards of total offense.
Yeah, that speaks for itself. And you look at Tampa Bay came into the game the number one third down offense. I should say, number one third down offense. They were number four third down defense, only giving up 33%, where we were 6-12, 50%, and they were 6-14, 43%. They were getting 50% conversion rate. So when you just look at that, that kind of speaks for itself. When you look at what Tampa Bay has done lately, what have you done for me lately? And the one thing, and when all said and done, it doesn't matter how you come about it, but the Saints end up having 30 rushing plays. And you look at it, Mark Ingram averaged 4 yards a carry, Alvin Kamara 4.3. So you say, look, I thought we'd run the ball a little better than look like that in the first half because the Buccaneers were giving up 5 yards a run coming into the game. But both Ingram and Kamara, 4 yards are better. Now, when you look at Michael Thomas, look, Christian, 11 catches, 98 yards. I think he kind of built upon what he did in that first game against Tampa Bay when he had a franchise record, 16 receptions, 180 yards and a touchdown. So Yeah, I'd say Michael Thomas is definitely a Buccaneer nightmare. Now, Michael Evans, not the game that he had against Lattimore, you know, in the Superdome. When you look at all seven of his targets, he caught for 147 yards. Well, he was targeted six times, four receptions, 86 yards. He did average 21.5, but overall, he was not over that 100-yard mark. And when you look at Evans, he has topped 1,000 receiving yards for the fifth straight season. So I think that was a big feather in the defensive cap. But now you look at Cam Jordan and Sheldon Rankins. They combined for three sacks. Cam had two. Rankins had one. You look at quarterback hurries. They had six combined. They each had three. Tackles for a loss. Cam had two. Rankins had one. Pass defending. They both able to get their hands on the ball. So to me, Cam Jordan, again, based on what he did last year, he's going to be all-pro again. When you look at the complete defensive end, first, second, third down, then Sheldon Rankins is now a Pro Bowler. When you look at first-round draft pick, DeMario Davis continues to lead the team in tackles with eight. So, yeah, this is a defensive effort, but look at Taysom Hill, what he brings to the table.
Look at what Taysom Hill.
Kind of setting the tone and that block punt.
Look at what he's done this season, Bobby. He's completed a pass, run for a touchdown, caught a pass, returned kicks, recorded tackles, block punt.
So he's the ultimate utility player. He even got a bootleg T-shirt. It's a Swiss Army knife. Taysom Hill. That's what Taysom Hill is, and that's what's unbelievable. And then, Christian, when you go down and look at the numbers, here's Tampa Bay having the number one passing attack in the league. Now, when you think about that, that's not an opinion. Tampa Bay was averaging 344.5 yards passing. Today they only had 174. Now, I thought we'd have to be on the plus side in the turnover margin. Now, we're minus one, but that block punt, like you said, it's kind of even.
It doesn't count. It doesn't count statistically against the turnover takeaway giveaway ratio, but it is.
But
it counts as a stop on defense.
Yeah, so it ended up being, you know, it wasn't a positive necessarily. We're a plus one, plus two, but it wasn't a negative. I think overall because of that punt block by Taysom Hill. You know what else was critical? And you don't think every position matters? You know, when you're talking about clutch, who was clutch? Carlos Santos. Listen, Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans, they might want to send him back to Tulane or to Brazil. He was 0-for-2. Think about the field goals made. Hit the goal post. He missed one. Well, what did Will Lutz do? He made his two field goals. So that's a six-point swing, and then you look at the momentum.
It could have been 20-3. That changes things.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. That's why Will Lutz. You can Santos dealing with injuries and all that. Remember, Tulane, he was outstanding with the Chiefs, and then all of a sudden he gets an opportunity with the Bucs, but not coming through. That's the difference. The NFL, when you're setting the tone and the momentum, like that 6 points in your favor or against, I think that was critical. And then another area, Christian, you know, we always talk about penalties. Tampa Bay had 10 penalties. You know, you talk about 10 penalties, 100 yards, that's, I'm telling you, a touchdown. So we were more disciplined.
It was 10 for 84. So roughly, I mean, that's big. That's a lot.
That's points.
That's a drive.
That is points. So we said this was a flag-happy crew because they ended up throwing 16 flags on both teams.
What was my reaction when we found out it was Jerome Bogard? Look, they're constantly throwing. I've seen them. I've been down there. I've watched games that they've called, not just against the Saints, but they have a reputation.
Double digits plus.
Every time, every game, and always disorganized as well. You notice that today? The game seemed to drag on not just because of the amount of calls, but also the way that they officiated. They had to huddle and talk quite a bit. They've always been that way.
Yeah, they've always been that way, and I think that is critical. And a lot of times you can't stomp everybody. You know, we're averaging 37 points a game, and you get a little spalled, and you don't realize, okay, what happened to the Saints for the last six offensive quarters? But you look how they found a way to get the momentum and to win in that second half. I think that's crucial and that's critical. And the Saints, we play for bigger and better things. But right now, the Saints are NFC South champions. The first time in franchise history. You're talking about over 50 years, and it's never happened.
Bobby, tell me if you agree with this before we go to the break. I said it on the Toyota Locker Room show that basically that loss to Dallas, you want to play as quickly as possible. And I think that little mini bye, I think caused them to linger a little bit in this game because they were thinking about that game a little bit too long, perhaps.
I don't know. Tampa Bay won two games in a row.
I know.
They were right behind the Saints in sacks. You know, so you look at third down defense. No, it's the NFL. I mean, you have to come to play. Now, I think I was driving here, Christian, you brought up the point. Boy, it's amazing to show you how tough it is. At one point in the beginning of the season, who we said was the toughest division in the NFL? NFC South. Falcons, choke. Carolina, choke. Carolina was 4-2, right?
6-2. They're 6-7 now.
Yeah.
Lost five
and they lost five in a row. And then look where Atlanta is. And now Tampa Bay kind of came back. Now they're going back. But it's amazing. If somebody would have told me in August, before we even played Carolina, we already won the NFC South, I'd have said, no way. Because I thought, to be objective and build upon what we did last year, I said we're going to win 11 games. 12 games best. 12-4 is an outstanding season. Well, what are we right now?
11-2.
11.
Three to go.
So now you expect bigger and better things. So you say go Bears tonight. We're still playing for that number one seed. So the road to Atlanta goes through the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So hopefully the Bears is going to be cold. I don't know what's going to happen with the Rams. But I know right now we're still in a great position. If you got one or two seed, because you get a bye, and at least you get one home playoff game, is critical to try and get to the Super Bowl.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick here on The Point After, live at Felix's on the Lake. Jump in the conversation at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.